Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Alpharetta, Georgia, it's time for Alpharetta Business Radio, spotlighting the area's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good morning, everyone. Your host here, Chris Deekle. We have in studio Patricia Royack with the Royack Group. They are a professional IT services and consulting firm. And they bring over 20 years of sales and marketing expertise to create IT solutions. They are very good. They have a unique value proposition. I think you're going to really enjoy hearing from Patricia. We also have her husband, Bob, who is cowering in the corner. But we'll shout out to Bob. We're glad you're here, Bob. John Lucht is with Smith and Howard Group. And Smith and Howard is a company that he's been with since 1980, and he's the firm's managing partner. They provide a wide range of services and accounting, advisory, and assurance services, and also consulting. So they are one of the best firms in the industry that is recognized by a national industry publication. And it's also recognized by the AJC as a top workplace in the Atlanta region. I think you're going to really enjoy what John has to say. And then we have Doreen Morgan, who is with Woodbridge International, a mergers and acquisition consulting firm. They do it globally, and they have a number of franchise deals that they help middle market companies with and private individuals take their franchises to the market. So we'll get into all of that. Well, let's start out with you, Patricia. Tell us about the Royack Group and what you do and what makes you special.
Well, good morning, Chris, and all our listeners, and thank you for having the Royack Group this morning. The Royack Group focuses on the IT staffing industry. We provide three services: staff augmentation, direct placement, and project services. We support a number of industry sectors to include healthcare, insurance, government, financial services, retail, and then a general services sector. We're a nationwide firm headquartered out of Johns Creek, Georgia.
Tell me, what makes you different than other firms that offer the similar kind of sounding solutions?
Well, I think the most important key differentiators are what our clients and our candidates tell us. And they tell us that our high-touch, high-tech, hands-on approach to bringing a solution together is our greatest key differentiator.
You have helped a lot of firms find specialists in IT. What gives you the ability to pick people out so well?
We have a very experienced recruitment organization. Most of our recruiters bring an average of 15 years of experience. We are set up as a relationship model, which means that a very hands-on approach to our clients and our customers. So our strongest method of hiring is a referral approach. Certainly, there are the various job boards for immediate talent. However, we keep a very extensive database. We see every individual that we deal with, both on the client side and the candidate side. And as I mentioned earlier, we're a nationwide firm, so it's obviously impossible to see people who are outside of the Atlanta area for the most part. But with today's technology, such as Skype and the web, that brings everyone right into our office.
What have you seen in the market in terms of hiring trends? The economy hasn't been performing in a sterling fashion, let's say, but how's that affected your business and your customers?
Well, the last 3 years, actually, the information technology staffing industry has had a year-over-year growth of 12%. And the projections for our market is a $135 billion market. The projections suggest we'll be up again 12% next year.
Wow.
The good news, which I don't think many of our college grads have heard the last 3 years, has been and is projections for 2013 suggest that college graduate hiring will be up 13%, specifically in disciplines of information technology, management information sciences, accounting, and finance.
Wow. So what are the top skills that are in demand today?
Top skills in demand today include anyone who's dealing in the mobile market, anyone dealing with data and analytics, wireless and security. Those are four very hot markets for us today.
Is that a very competitive market in terms of finding good talent, or is good talent going begging?
It is a very difficult market to find top talent that's available. So this talent is no longer posting their availability to the job boards. This talent must be recruited. So you're going to see a trend in terms of the staffing industry in general, looking for individuals who are professional recruiters, not professional sourcers.
I see. So... I happen to notice a company up in North Georgia that has been looking for a head of their IT department now for going on about a year. What advice would you give somebody that's looking for someone to run a CAD shop and improve their general IT operations that hasn't been able to find somebody in a year on their own?
I would say the best advice to give that company is to look for a recruiting firm that focuses within their industry and that focuses on executive search.
Mm. In terms of your recruiting process, you know, you really kind of do this differently. So I know from personal experience that the IT people that you recommend tend to be very good, and they're obviously a perfect hire. How do you do that?
So the Royette Group has been in business for a decade, and over that decade, we have improved upon our recruiting methodology. It's a 19-step methodology. It is proprietary, but it goes back to a very simplistic motto, and that is high touch, high tech, hands on. We see every one of our candidates, and that makes a big difference because there are three dimensions to a resume. There's the resume itself, which states what the person has done. There's the individual himself or herself that states what they can do. And then there's the total package when you bring the three together, the individual, the resume, and their capabilities.
I see. What kind of feedback have you gotten from your customers?
So the feedback we get from our customers is strong. I think the strongest feedback we could get is the ability to use the Royette Group on a continuous basis. Their repeat business, that means a lot to us, not just a one-time hire, but the opportunity to go in and work with that client, develop our recruiting processes, align those to their growth strategies, and stay with that company as a not just a one-time hire, but an account that we can grow with and help them grow.
What advice would you give a candidate, somebody that's thinking about making a career move? You know, do you have a service or something for them that will help give them an edge in terms of developing their career?
Absolutely. As I mentioned earlier, we look for recruiters who are professional recruiters, not just sourcers. So our recruiting team is very skilled and educated in terms of mentoring, coaching, and guiding. About 40% of what we do is just that, coach, guide, mentor. We work with our candidates on their LinkedIn profiles to ensure that those profiles say what they want them to say and just don't convey what they've done. We work on their resume. We oftentimes will coach them to add or delete from their resume whatever is appropriate based on the skills and the expertise they bring to the Royette Group.
What mistakes are candidates making?
I think the greatest mistake is the underestimating of soft skills. It's one thing to bring the talent, but the soft skills are 50% of the job itself. And it's our ability to match those soft skills with our clients' culture that brings us success.
When you say soft skills, what do you mean exactly?
Verbal skills, body language, the ability to communicate. Communication skills are very underrated. And in today's technology market, the most important thing is conveying accurately, succinctly, and concisely.
I see. In terms of your market, how do you find your clients? What do you do to find the kind of clients you're looking for? And what are their characteristics? It would be a good part to ask.
Chris, we're a strong relationship model, mm-hmm. as you have witnessed and have known over mm-hmm. the past decade. We've been in business a decade now. We focus on individuals in transition. That's where we start with them. And whether they're a candidate or an executive in transition, we follow their career. So once you enter our office, once you enter into a discussion of with the REAC group, we continue that process. You're either a candidate or a potential client.
Where do you think most of the people in your industry are missing the point?
It goes back to one-on-one. It's meeting the individuals you're working with. Whether you're a client, for us to conduct a site survey is very important. There are small nuances about an office that you might be able to pick up and convey, and therefore help make a better match when you find that that candidate, a good cultural fit. On the candidate side, it's extremely important to meet that candidate. Again, there are small things you'll pick up in an interview that you will not pick up over the phone.
You know, what separates the top 20% of people in your industry from the other 80?
That's a great question. Again, I would go back to those soft skills. Soft skills are extremely important. Time and time again, you can take someone with 100% of what that client's looking for, and soft skills that aren't as well-versed, and someone with 50% of what that client's looking for with excellent soft skills, and the latter will always be the person to win.
I see. Is there anything you can do for someone who may be a very technically accomplished and capable candidate that lacks the soft skills? What can you do for them?
We'll work with that individual. We'll point out to them very accurately what they need to improve on. That goes back to our recruiting team, their capability in coaching, mentoring, and guiding. It's always great to give people good news. That's not so good news. That's not necessarily good news, but they will be thankful and grateful for it. I can think of a recent experience in the last 3 months where we had a client refer an individual to us, and our team broke the news to this individual: you have great skills on paper, and here's what we need to work with. We need to work with your eye contact. We need to work with verbal skills. We need to work with your communication style. That young gentleman was so grateful. Each of us received a thank you note. So those are the things that are difficult to point out, but essential if you want to improve upon each and every person you see every day who comes to our office.
One of the great quotes I remember from Brian Tracy is, said, to be great, take the thing you're the very worst at and make it the thing you're very best at, and do that continually for the rest of your life.
And that's where we focus. You know, we know where individuals are strong, whether it's their technical capability or elsewise. Where they're not so strong is where we want to bolster them, and they'll become a better solution for our customer.
You sound like you have a really great company, Patricia. What keeps you awake at night? I mean, besides Bob.
Well, I would say it's a host of things that are going on with small businesses today. We all understand that small business are and will be our job creators, and it's continually looking for those customers where we know we can service them successfully. And conversely, find the talent to service them.
How are you meeting those people, you know, those companies?
Most of those companies are met through referrals. We have a very strong CIO, CTO following when CIOs and CTOs are in transition. We take the opportunity to meet with them. We take the opportunity to gratuitously work with them in their job searches. We follow those individuals, whether we place them or they're placed otherwise, and that is our focus. We have a very strong relationship model.
Well, it sounds like a great company, Patricia, that people ought to take advantage of, know about whether you're a candidate or an employer. If there are people out in our audience who want to do that, how do they get in touch with you?
Two ways. The first way would be go to our website, which is www.thereacgroup.com. Or you can certainly call our office, and we'd welcome that. Our phone number at our Johns Creek office is 770-772-5111.
Well, thank you, Patricia. Can you remain in the studio for our other guests?
Absolutely. Thank you, Chris.
Great. Well, good morning, John. We're glad to have you. We have John Lucht, Managing Partner of Smith & Howard. Tell us a little bit about Smith & Howard. I understand you're quite large.
Yes, Chris. Thank you. Yes, we've been We started the business in 1971, and I joined the firm in 1990 after a couple stops with one of the big four and a firm on my own. But we have been around and have grown to the size of around 90 people. We're on that list of the top 25 CPA firms in Atlanta from a size standpoint.
So, you know, you have a large staff. You know, what areas of business do you help people with? I mean, people think of CPAs as being CPAs, but I know you do far more than that.
Well, we do a lot of different things. We focus in some different industries. We work in most industries, but primarily we focus in manufacturing, distribution, technology, real estate, construction, franchising, insurance. Really, there's two industries we don't specialize in, and there's good firms that handle those, and that's auto dealers and banks. I mean, we just don't focus, and those are pretty specialized.
I see. What are you seeing in the business community today? You're seeing it from both a tax and accounting standpoint, but you're also seeing it as a consultant.
We're seeing, obviously, the biggest things we're seeing, the biggest concerns are everyone's concerns right now. The healthcare reform, how that's going to impact them, and of course, what's going to happen to taxes here. It's going to be resolved, I think, pretty soon. Those are clearly the two biggest areas that everybody sees. But I think the other thing is the uncertain economy is going to continue. I think we see that's something that's going to impact all businesses in Atlanta, both on the national level as well as on the local level. And so, you know, those are the main issues we're seeing.
I see. And how would Smith and Howard help those leaders of those companies meet those challenges?
Well, basically, we have a process for making sure that we speak with our clients on a regular basis, and not just from the partner level, but also our staff level gets involved. A key theme for us is to understand the client's business, not just their tax situation or their accounting needs, but to get to know their business. And we share information as well as research with them proactively, and not just when it's tax time or audit time, but throughout the year. We spend time listening to them and understanding their business issues and their goals, both their personal goals and their business goals, because those kind of have to be known at the same time. We recently completed a client survey, which was a very extensive survey, and we were pleased that so many of our clients say that one of the primary reasons that they stay with us and like us is because we take the time to understand their business.
I see. In terms of strategy and helping owners deal with strategy, what do you do in the area of strategy and helping owners develop strategies to meet the things you learn about their business?
Sure. Well, I personally work with the CEOs and CFOs and the C-Space folks on strategic planning, whether it's in a retreat setting or a one-on-one setting or focusing on specific issues. But also, one of the things we've seen recently, particularly as we get near the end of this year, is an increased attention to exploring the value of their businesses. And quite frankly, with all the consolidation and M&A, and you'll hear more about that later, but also with the estate tax law potentially being more strict, it's an important thing for these business owners to look at. And also, it's hard to grow right now organically. And that's one reason so many companies are looking to acquire or to sell or to see where they are. We work with companies kind of from the beginning through the whole life cycle of their business, whether it's the startup stage, during the growth stage, or maybe as they're exiting or doing succession planning. But there's tons of opportunities out there. And from a strategic standpoint, one thing I think a lot of people are not focusing on that is a great opportunity in Atlanta is the global community. It's very important to seize the opportunities we have here in Atlanta with the international businesses, whether it's inbound or outbound. We work a lot with both types of businesses. But in order to do that, you have to have an understanding of, and a lot of people are afraid of, what does it take to start something international, to sell overseas, or for that matter, to buy. And so we spent a lot of time working with our clients on that recently. And you need to kind of connect yourself with alliances of folks that understand that in different disciplines.
I see. And how would you help a company who has a product or service that should be exported overseas, or that they could find advantageous buying opportunities or outsourcing opportunities? How could you help them?
Well, we have an alliance that helps us internationally. We have offices that cover that throughout the world. And we would first try to identify what their business issue is. Some of them are as simple as, how do I start doing business overseas? How do I deal with an operation in Vietnam, or something like that? So we'll connect them with our alliances. obviously that also gets started through the New York base, because you want to talk to someone who speaks English, typically, and so you'll want to start with someone that can understand what you've been through, and so we'll do that a lot. One of the things that we found is that a lot of our clients, there's something very simple that they don't think about, and that is, how do you grow your business? Well, what do you do to help your customers grow their businesses? You know, because we always hear about these partnering with each other concepts, but more and more companies today are saying, what can you do to help us? And if you're proactive as a business owner and reaching out to your customers and saying, how can I help you grow, you know, that's an important thing.
From your experience, what areas have your business clients had the most difficulty with?
Well, one is getting started, whether it's a business plan. You know, a lot of people just don't know where to begin when they're doing a business plan. And I'll just throw out a couple what I think are some good topics to make sure you include in your business plan when you're putting it together. First of all, you need to identify the problem and the opportunity, the problem that you're going to solve and the opportunity that's there for you. You know, who is the customer going to be? What is the problem and what is your solution? So you have to start with that. Why am I even going into business to begin with? You have to develop your business model. You know, your business model is how the business turns an idea into making money. So you have to develop that. What makes you unique? You have to do a competitive market analysis. You have to look at the competition and make sure that you know who your competitors are. You know, is the space saturated? I mean, am I in the right business, in the right area? And then you have to put together a marketing and sales strategy. Be specific. Design a plan that you can put into action easily, kind of a KISS method plan, if you will. Don't try to get too complicated. Obviously, your social media strategy is important. We found more and more clients actually are turning to us, and our actually director of marketing has done some LinkedIn training for people as to how to do some of that social media things on a get-going basis. But also the people that you're going to have in your organization is critical, right? I mean, we look at the values of our business. The top two values that we kind of really focus on are our clients and our people. And people always ask us, what's more important? Well, the answer is it's kind of like a scale. No, you know, there's not one more important than the other. It kind of depends on the time of the year and the issue and where you are. But your people and your team is so critical. And then, of course, your financial goals and projections. You need to put something together that's, you know, maybe 3 to 5 year plan. It's tough to go any further out than that.
In terms of using a budget, how would you advise a company to think about a budget?
I'd start with the way you think about your personal budget. You know, you break it down into components. You know, what are the things that are kind of the fixed costs, if you will, that you don't have a choice? You know, you're going to have to pay for space potentially, or utilities. You're going to have payroll. You know, I mean, our business generally is pretty simple. Professional service businesses are pretty simple. Your budget's typically about a third for overhead, a third for your people cost, and then hopefully a third left for profits. You really need to take it based on the key components of your business and work kind of one step at a time.
If you were to summarize the tips that you have taken away from working with companies, you know, over the years, what would be your what business tips would you give today's business owner?
That's a good question. I think that successful leaders always surround themselves with people who are smarter than they are. You know, you should do that with the people not only that work with you and in your business, but also with your advisors, you know, with your banker, your lawyer, your CPA, your insurance providers, and your other service providers. Because I think we all grow when we're challenged by people who are smarter than we are.
Would you advise putting those people on a board or a thought leadership team?
You can do that. I mean, I wouldn't put them on an official board. Typically, you see a lot of companies with advisory boards. But a lot of people you just have that in your network and who you turn to and can talk to about questions.
Well, you're really saying don't live in a shell. Talk to the people who can give you a different perspective or another perspective from the one you have.
Exactly.
Do you help your clients put together those kind of, you know, leadership groups?
We can. I mean, particularly, we work a lot with clients and their bankers in a lot of situations. Obviously, the logical thing people think about is how do they raise money, you know, to grow their business or to get funding, and that has been a tough and challenging thing here lately. But I think it points to something that the business owner has to understand a lot about their own financial situation. Too often they rely on someone in their organization to kind of put the financial statements together and the numbers. But you've got to have an understanding as the business owner to start with, because if you're going to go in and talk with the lender, which we'll help them do in a lot of cases, you have to know what you're doing and what you're talking about. So basically, whether you're looking to finance or grow, or you're going to make a decision to buy something or lease equipment or whatever. So make sure you're looking at your projections appropriately of your income. Excuse me. From that standpoint, the other thing is a lot more today. Small business owners are turning to the SBA loans, which were kind of out of favor several years ago. But the process has become a lot easier, time-consuming, more streamlined, and it might be a good fit for you in your small business. So at least ask your CPA or your advisors about that.
What would it take for someone to get SBA financing today?
Well, for one thing, typically things like owner-occupied, if you own your space. But also now they're doing more working capital loans and growth loans from that perspective. I'd speak to your CPA. I'd speak to your banker. Most banks today have an SBA lending group. And just kind of reach out. And when you reach out to them, they may say, that doesn't work for you, but maybe this would be a better alternative. You know, they'll give you some choices.
Yeah. One of the things I know is you do a lot of community outreach and pro bono work for charities and whatever. What do you do there, and what advice would you give other business owners in terms of giving back?
That's great. Yeah, last year was our 40th anniversary, and our director of marketing put together a campaign called 40 for 40, which was basically 40 community service projects in a year's time. And it could have been anything from collecting, books for kids to going to the Shepherd Center and doing a cookout for the patients and the caregivers. And probably some of the things that really jumped out at me was every single person in the firm participated, but also were leaders of an event. And it wasn't me, the managing partner, who led the event. It was our staff, our administrative people, our other professionals that really had a passion to do it. And it was really their project, and they took it on and they owned it. And, whenever you own something and you have a passion for it, it just happens. And as we all know, we always hear that statement, the more you give, the more you get. I mean, you learn so much and you gain more from doing it than what you provide to somebody.
Absolutely. One other question. You're well established, you're well known, you're a large firm. How are you getting most of your customers?
Well, it's interesting, kind of like Patricia, referrals from existing clients are a great resource for us, as well as the service providers, the bankers, the attorneys, insurance typically. Those providers are good resources for us. That's our best source.
I see. Like everybody else, the more you help other people, the more they will help you.
Absolutely.
Well, that's great, John. It's been a pleasure having you. Can you remain for our next guest? And before you go, I'd like you to tell everyone how to get in touch with you and Smith and Howard.
Sure, I'll stay around. Our website is smith-howard.com, and that dash is a hyphen. And our office number is 404-874-6244. And they're also welcome to email me at jlucht, J-L-U-C-H-T, at smith-howard.com. Thank you.
Well, thanks, John. Well, welcome, Doreen. It's great to have you on. Doreen, to refresh everyone's memory, is part of the Woodbridge Group, who specializes in M&A work in the franchise industry. At least her part of it does, although you're a global corporation, right? And tell us about the Woodbridge Group and who you serve and where you serve it.
Thank you, Chris, and thanks for having me. Woodbridge International is based out of Woodbridge, Connecticut. We are a global mergers and acquisitions firm in 8 countries. We've recently closed our first transaction, I think, in Brazil, and recently one in Panama. So our global reach is growing. We are 40 deal makers strong, so we deal in any industry, manufacturing, transportation. I head up the franchise team with them, and that's my area of focus is on franchisor and multi-unit franchisee exit strategies.
All right. Well, interesting. What are you seeing in the franchise industry now? I mean, there are some, you know, humongous players we all know that, you know, have the golden arches and things like that. But what is happening in the mergers and acquisition world with large and small franchises?
You always hear about when Arby's acquires something or McDonald's or Wendy's. But there is a whole middle market franchise world that you hear very little about, and it's because it's mostly all private companies that are buying that. But last year there were at least 53 transactions that I could find that sold in and among franchisors. So a lot of activity going on, and that has been the trend over at least the past 3 years. Unfortunately, in 2008 we saw a lot of activity. As in any industry, the franchise industry follows the basic industry and economies, but we saw more on the distress side, and that has kind of worked itself through. There haven't been a lot of strong companies that have hit the market, not near as many as we saw in 2006 through 2008. And so there's a lot of public private equity funds that have to be deployed, or it reverts back to their investors. And right now, private equity is sitting on more money than they've ever had, at least in the history that I've seen. $432 billion is where they are right now, and they're anxious to deploy those funds. That's how they make their money. And then you've also got corporates that have very solid balance sheets because they haven't been making a lot of acquisitions. So as far as what's going on in mergers and acquisitions right now, is multiples really are back to where they were in 2007, just because the demand is there. Now, what's interesting about the franchise middle market is that these companies are really just starting to come to the market. For the first time, you've got franchisors that are founders that are starting to look at for exit strategies, and these companies are between 15 and 30 years old. They're coming to market for the first time, and coming to market as they should be. They're coming to market as a traditional M&A transaction, which you didn't really see in the franchise community, because franchisors, they are in the business of selling business. So in the past, they kind of traded amongst themselves, and that's starting to change, and that's a change in the M&A market in general, where you would call a specialist who had a Rolodex, and they would put you in touch with three people, and someone of those three logical buyers would buy you, and that has really changed.
I see. Let me just for clarification, when you say middle market, how do you define middle market in the franchise industry?
Middle market in the franchise industry will be companies that have between $5 million and $100 million in revenue, and EBITDA of at least $1 million.
Are there any areas of franchising that are particularly hot right now?
There are healthcare industries are always hot. Franchise industries are popular in general, and I think it goes back to they really haven't hit the public market like they have in the past couple of years, and like they'll continue to in the next, the next 5 years. But the hot industries are going to be healthcare. They're going to be the franchise distribution models. They're going to be restaurants are always popular. The unique niche, there are a lot of franchise concepts that are very unique and niche to their, not just the franchise industry, but to their industry. For example, financial services. I'm working with a company right now that's the largest in the country and actually in the world at what they do, and that's been an interesting opportunity because it's unique to the franchise M&A world, but it's also unique to their specific industry sector. So that's that. Those are going to be popular.
All right. Well, with all this great popularity and just piles of money looking for a good franchise to park it in, what advice do you give people that are owners of franchises now who may be thinking of selling in 1 to 5 years?
If you're thinking of selling between now and the next 5 years, it's important to make sure that you really focus on the internal operations of your business. You know, the franchisors that have are founders and they've been in business for 20 or 25 years, if you're still getting royalty reports faxed in, then you need to bring updates to your system. Or if your training programs, while they might be very effective and you may be the most successful in your industry sector, if your training programs are still hard copies, you know, can you get those, bring somebody in to get those put online and make them interactive and get those updated? Some things that franchisors tend to overlook when they go to market or when they're thinking about go to market, little things can make a big difference in valuation. If you have franchisees that are slow to pay, you know, that is your accounts receivable, you know, that's your franchise base. And if you've been in business for 25 years and 10 of your franchisees have been with you for 25 years and they've just always paid on the 25th of the month, you know, convince them to start paying on time, because as a buyer looks at this, if you've got 25% of your franchise base that is slow to pay, that's a red flag. If you same goes if you are a multi-unit franchisee, some of this will apply to you as well. What shape are your contracts in? If you've got franchisees, if 10% or 25% of your system, if their franchise agreements are coming due, you know, can you get those renewed now? Multi-unit franchisees, before you go to market, if you've got, you know, 15 of your locations who, you know, you've got 2 years left on your lease, you know, can you get those extended now? What do your contracts look like with your suppliers and your vendors? Oftentimes, you know, the cleanest way to transition a franchise company will be through a stock sale, because then usually all contracts will transfer. But you do have change of control clauses in some of your contracts, and it's important to refresh your memory and be familiar with those and what are those requirements going to be. Work with your CPA and your tax planners to make sure that if you're operating in 50 states, that you've got the appropriate tax certificates, that you're paying taxes as you should. And a lot of times you don't need to because your franchisees are there. But if it's running through your company first and then going to your franchisees, you know, is all of that documented properly? And then I think the last thing that I see a lot of people that they don't think about are trademarks. You know, IP and trademarks, most people will have.
Could you explain IP for those?
Oh, I'm sorry. Intellectual property. Most people will have their intellectual property and their trademarks and know that they're solid and in place in the United States. But when you go to sell, it's good to go ahead and take the time to at least get your trademarks trademarked and copyrighted in Canada and other places in Europe. It doesn't take a lot of money to do that, but it does really really secure, you know, that valuation when a buyer is looking at you. You can to be able to tell them that you do have your trademarks and IP in other parts of the world.
Well, it sounds great if you're in the business. You know, you just, you know, that all this time I thought all a franchisor did was sit back and wait for the, you know, envelopes full of cash to come in the mail with nothing to worry about.
Right. No. They have plenty to worry about. And that's the other unique thing about a franchisor who sells. It's they're selling their company, and it's not just employees that they're worried about. Are they leaving their employees in good hands? But it's they've got people who have invested money in them, and it's 200 families that they're transitioning.
What have you seen in terms of M&A activity, in terms of the kind of IT structures and marketing on the web, internet, social media? What effect does that have on the value of a company?
That's got a tremendous effect, I think, on the value of a company, because that goes directly to brand awareness, and it goes back to updating your systems and making sure that you're out there. And if you have been in business 20 years, then a lot of times when things go very well and things are strong, you are operating the same way. But we really are in a new world now, and you've got to learn how to use that Twitter account. I know everybody has one, but if you've never actually been on it, then it's time to get out there and get on that, because it does weigh in. It directly affects brand awareness.
So the tweet that you need to be using now is not the canary in the cage, but the one on your cell phone.
It is. That's powerful, 120 little characters.
So in terms of helping a franchisor, I think the term in the industry is a czar, mm-hmm. We know what we're talking about. To help someone that has a franchise, what can you do for them? Do you have partners you recommend, for instance, your accounting is going to have to be squeaky clean. You have to clean up your receivables. You'll have to get things regular. You have to get your trademarks and intellectual property protected and all the places you're thinking of going. Do you have partners you recommend to do that sort of thing, or how do you help your clients with that?
Yes. We can recommend people. We will work with the Czar's internal team. Our dream client is somebody that is, a year out, and with franchisors, not quite as long, because they do sell companies, so their houses are usually in a little bit better order. But the first thing we do is preparing a company to take it to market. It really is a process, and it is a once-in-a-lifetime event for most people selling a company. So before we go to market, while we're shooting the video and writing the books and that kind of thing, there's a lot that's going on. The first thing I'm going to want to do is sit down with, your CPA and your tax planners, your attorneys, put you in touch with an M&A attorney. You have to have an M&A attorney. That also affects valuation, believe it or not, because these buyers are sophisticated and they will look to see who your attorney is, and you want to have an M&A attorney at your side. So that is a very important component. But we'll sit down and put the team together, the CPA, the estate planner, if it's not your CPA, financial planner, because it's never about what you sell your company for, it's about how much you keep. So the team gets together on the front end, so that as we get offers in, we are very different with Woodbridge. We are market-driven auction approach. So when we take a company to market, it's always by auction. We never disclose an asking price, because we really can't know if it can swing based on who the buyer is by a few million dollars oftentimes. So we set up a deadline. We get the offers in, and then we go back to the team, your CPA, the attorneys. We all sit down, the financial planner, and review the offers. They'll be structured differently. And so it's lots of advisors involved beforehand to check the tax certificates and the intellectual property. And
wow, a lot of moving parts.
Lots of moving parts, yeah.
What would you do for someone who is a fledgling or about to franchise company? Would you work with them to give them a heads up in terms of, okay, when you start this, these are the things you need to be thinking about and building and putting in place? Now, do you have a function like that in your company?
We will do that, and it's usually, we will look at it from the point of view as as an exit strategy. And this is what you need to do to get the highest value. And this is what you need to have in place. And then we can point them, and we don't actually do that work ourselves, but we will refer them to, you know, an attorney that can make sure their intellectual property is in order, a business coach, an IT professional, to make sure that that will work, you know, with them along the way.
So looking to the future, when somebody is going to sell their business, what's the structure of a deal look like now? Is it cash up front, or, you know, well, I'll pay you anything if you let me name the terms.
No. The market is definitely strong, and multiples are solid just because supply and demand. And, you know, in 2008 through 2010, it was you know, a lot of distressed companies out there. And if it wasn't a distressed company, it could be a fantastic company. But everyone was of the mindset that they were going to buy a company for as little as they possibly could. And projections were difficult to meet. A lot of companies had a tough time meeting projections, but a lot of buyers took that opportunity as, you missed your projections by 3% last month, so now I want to go back and retrade on the transaction. That's not going on anymore. There's that has kind of flushed itself out. We've got a lot of premium companies coming onto the market, and people know that the distress situation is over, and they've got to pay top dollar to get a company, and oftentimes they're willing to pay 100% cash for the right opportunity. Typically,
So I mean, you know, your function is to help them be that perfect opportunity and get them the maximum value for their company, and you're obviously very, very knowledgeable in the field. So for those people that are out in our audience who are business owners who may have something they've franchised, or those who are thinking about it, how do they get in touch with you?
They can reach me at directly at 678-710-2801, and our website is woodbridgegrp.com.
Well, thank you, Doreen. Before we go, a couple of things. You know, does anyone have anything they would like to add that they didn't get a chance to say before?
One thing I was going to suggest is, you know, one of the big topics, of course, everybody's thinking about this fiscal cliff. I came across a YouTube the other day that I thought was a very practical YouTube on it. So if anybody's interested in finding out more about how to, you know, get that, connect to that, feel free to contact me.
And again, how do they contact you, John?
JLucht@smith-howard.com.
LUCHT. Okay. Well, super. What did anybody take away anything from this that they didn't know before they came to the show? Did they care to share with our audience?
One thing that Patricia said that made me think of a book by Jim Collins. I don't know if those people know Jim Collins, Good to Great, Great by Choice, and Built to Last. And he always says in there that it's the power of the and, not the tyranny of the or. And what that means is it's when you look to solve a problem, and I was thinking about it in the IT side, it's not an either-or situation. We can do both. We can solve it, you know, and we have to look at not just, well, if you can't do that, move on to the next situation. I think that's a very powerful statement that he makes in his book.
Well, super. I really enjoyed having you on. If you know in our audience, if you know people that have great companies like this that would like to share their story with us, we'd love to have them on. And if our guests in the studio know other companies, they could be clients, they could be acquaintances who have good companies with great stories to share, we would love to know about them too. So thank you for coming. It's been a great show, and I think it's been one of our most informative. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.